So we're about to begin the final siman of Hilchos Bas Machalav, siman Sadi Zayin, which is it's the first siman that's dedicated to a food item other than basar or chalav. This is the siman that's dedicated to bread. It's sort of ironic that this is also the siman that's rooted in three different gemaras in Maseches Pesachim of all places. The siman about bread is the Maseches Pesachim, which is ironic and at the same time understandable. There's a gemara in Daf Lamed of an Alf that wraps onto Lamed Vez, and then there's the overlap with the sugya Lamed Vav, and the first two seifim in Sadi Zayin are rooted in Daf Lamed Vav, and then the last sif, we'll see in Ritz Hashem, is rooted in Daf Ayin Vav, and Tosis here in Daf Lamed already sends you that way. There's a brisa that appears on both Daf Lamed and Lamed Vav, and it appears as well, Masoras HaShas points out, in Bava Metzia and in Zvachim. So we have a brisa quoted both in Daf Lamed and in Daf Lamed Vav. It appears in Daf Lamed in Maseches Pesachim in the context of the questions about how to kasher kelim for Pesach. Hechsher kelim appears in two places in Shulchan Aruch. Hechsher kelim appears in Yoredei at the beginning of the second chelik, Siman Kuf Chaf Aleph, and it also appears in Tafnim Aleph, Tafnim Beis and Arachayim, Hilchos Pesach. Because so many of the ksugas of kasher, because the ksugas of kasher kelim appear in Avodah Zarah, which corresponds to Yoredei Kelim days, and in Maseches Pesachim. So Daf Lamed is the epicenter of the sugis of the Hechsher Kelim LePesach. And in this context, the Gemara talks about a particular case in an Amora, Rav Bar Ahilai, who had an opinion about what do you do when you have an oven, like a brick oven that you're placing the bread against, and the oven had become fleshy. So in that context, the Gemara quotes here three lines from the bottom of Laman Aban Aleph, quotes this brisa. Aim lashin as a isa v'chalav, im lash kala pas kula asura nipnei hergal aveiro. Number one, you're not allowed to knead dough together with milk. I'm not allowed to make bread out of a milchig dough. If I did, it's treif. Kala paskula asura v'pnei hergal aveiro. So right away we hear three things. We hear a gzeira, we hear a reason for the gzeira, and we hear the chomer ha-gzeira. This is gzeira, it's not just nisul chachilas, even nisul b'dievet. Milchig bread, not just that it's usher to make milchig bread, but milchig bread is treif. Sure.
This oven we're talking about, this is the kind of oven where they would plaster the dough on the wall of the oven.
Most probably. Oh.
And if it weren't directly touching.
Oh, okay, that's a good question. In a case where it's not directly touching, that we're going to get to in Daf Ayin Vav. That's going to be the topic of Siv Gimel. And that's why Siv Gimel is officially a continuation of the discussion of milchig bread or fleshy bread. And that's why it's in Sadi Zayin. Lamasa Siv Gimel really is going to bring us into the world of ovens in general. Recha Milsa. So that's coming attractions. This price, it talks about two situations. Number one, once again, the bottom of Laman Aban Aleph, Ein Lashin Se'isa B'Chalav, Milchig bread is treif even b'dievet, mipnei hergal aveira, because the word it will lead you to chet, which Rashi here on Daf Lamed does not explain. What type of aveira? But I believe in Bava Metzia he explained, the other Rishon explained, that hergal aveira means that we're concerned that you may... We're concerned that you may come to eat it with fleshing. Hayotze bo, and similarly, ain tashin as hatan or ba'aliyav im tash kalapas asura. You're not allowed to. Rashi says tashin in lashon tach. You can't smear the brick oven, the wall of the brick oven, with fat, with animal fat, with aliyah, with tail. And if you did, all the bread that you make in that oven is treif. Achi yasik as hatan. Until you burn out the oven, the way to make the oven pariv and therefore kosher for bread making is Achiyasik Asatar. You're going to have to burn out the oven. And that last line becomes a conversation in the larger sugya. You see, there is a way to kasher an oven. That's what the Gemara gets involved in. That brings back to Rav Bar Ahila. But this brisa itself, which again appears four places in Shas, twice in Psachim as well as in Zvachim and in Bavitzia, so that presents a din in Isur. Isur Drabanan, both of milchik bread and of fleishik bread. As an aside, just for those who are interested in linguistics, for some reason the Masoros HaShas does not reference this in Psachim. But in Zvachim and in Bav Metzia, the Masoros HaShas tells you, look in Bava Basra Daf Kuf Yud Amud Aleph, Tosus over there, Tosus Bava Basra Kuf Yud, quotes this brisa.
You were saying it's not quoted in this Masoros HaShas?
Yeah, so here he doesn't tell you. I'm not sure why. Yours does.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm over here, he says, I'm close to Bava Basra
Kuf Yud. Ah, okay, that's why. I was looking Lama Nova. Okay, good. So he tells you also. That Tosus talks about the phenomenon of metathesis. That sometimes you'll have a word that appears with a switched letter order, like Kevis and Kesiv, or similar in Salmon. So Tosus there is dealing with a different word, Natish. Tosus there is dealing with Nashut. And they show you that Nashut and Aramaic will be the same as Natish. And they say, after all, in Toshin is Atan or Ba'alya, the Targum elsewhere, the word Tach, is Shot, Shintas. Okay, so they quote that. That's a linguistic curiosity. Now we're going to come back, Mirtz Hashem, as we get to Siv Beis, we'll come back to the context in which the Gemara here quotes it in terms of the kashering issue and the Toshin is Hatan or Ba'alya. That's Siv Beis. But let's take a look first at Daf Lamed Vav. Here in Daf Lamed Vav, near the end of the narrow lines, the Gemara, the context here, this is several blot later. At this point, we're done with Halachas of Chametz for now, and focused on the Dinam of Matzah, and the Dinam of Matzah's Mitzvah. So the context of the Gemara is talking about the different meanings of the term Lechem Oni. It's both Miloshen Aniya, that's bread of conversation, also Miloshen Ani, poor man's bread. Poor man's bread has several nafkaminas, one of which is, as opposed to matzah ashira, as opposed to enriched bread, it's enriched with other beverages. So the Gemara talks about, you have an oil-based bread, a honey-based bread, a milk-based bread, so those are kosher of the course of Pesach, but you can't have it the first day, or at least the first night. B'yom Tefrishin, discussion we've shown, does that mean should avoid matzah ashira the whole first day, or I mean specifically Leil HaSeder, to Mekayim the mitzvah, Erotav Lu Matzahs, this is not right for the mitzvah. Ashkenazi practice is that we avoid matzah ashira throughout Pesach because we're not sure exactly how to protect it from becoming chametz. That's a suffix that some of the Ashkenazi Rishonim have. So minig Ashkenazis, we avoid it lagarmi. But strictly speaking, the Gemara says, if you know how to do it, if the question is, how do they do it? You know how to do it. So the Gemara says, here, several lines, near the end of the narrow lines. Rabbi Yoshua, the Gemara says, or Yoshua ben Levi, says to his son, Yoma kamalo talushli bechelba. First day of Pesach, you shouldn't make me milchik matzah. But from that point on, feel free to add milk to the dough. The Gemara says, forget about Pesach issues. Forget about chametz issues. Forget about matzah issues. Chelba. What is this? So the Gemara says two terutzim. Terutz number one, maybe he wasn't talking about milk, maybe he was talking about honey. Okay, different type of matzah shira, which is parav and therefore kasher. Or you bought the same on the chelba kedam ravina ke'ein tura shari. Achanami ke'ein tura shari. The Gemara says ravina gave a shir. I don't think we have any other resource to this other than this side reference in Daf Lamed Vav. Ravina once said that Ke'ein Tura is Mutter. So that must be what Shimon Levi is talking about, Ke'ein Tura. If you do Ke'ein Tura, there's an Isser of milk and bread, if it's Ke'en Tura is Mutter. What does Ke'en Tura mean? That's a big machokas HaRishonim. Rashi says, Ma'at, a little bit. Ke'ayin shel shor, like the eyeball of a cow. Ke'en Tura. That amount, Mutter Lulosh B'chalav, because that amount you're going to eat up right away. You're not going to leave it around. There's a lot of alliteration there. You're not going to leave it around. If it's a lot of bread, you'll eat some now. You'll have shirayim for later. Thank you so much. Thank you. So here we are in Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. So the Gemara, in the context of matzah shir, the Gemara says it could be you're allowed to make milchik matzah not for matzah's mitzvah, but you can make milchik matzah for chol moed or for the last days, assuming that it's ke'en turah. So again, what's ke'en turah? So Rashi says it means the eyeball of a cow. Not very appealing. Where did the cow come from? Where did the ox come from? That's the only way to say And then maybe if we grew up on farms, this would be a more natural way to describe a small, I would have said a bulkala. I don't know, a little roll. the size of a donut. Oh, okay. Different strokes for different folks, different cultures. So Rashi says, in their culture, I'd say you said a small roll. It was an ox eyeball. How charming. Ke'en tura. But again, Rashi says, in the svar b'davar is if it's a small enough amount that you're going to eat right now, so you won't forget that it's milchik. You won't eat it with flesh. But if it's large enough that you're going to eat some now and leave over for later, we're worried the linshi shenil shpacha. They're worried they may forget that it was made with milk. And that's what the rush in Chulin, when the rush in Kol HaBasar, Perek Chesik, in Chulin, Simon Chaval, if he takes a break from Chulin to discuss this, then he quotes from Psachim. And then he quotes Rashi. In the rush in Psachim, though, here, in Parakal Shom Sachin, he quotes the other approach. He quotes the approach of the Rif, which is also quoted by the Rambam and the Rashba and the Taras Havayis that you have. And they say Ke'en Tura means that you actually made it like in the shape of or with a picture of a shor, looking like a cow. That reminds you that it has milk in it, because milk comes from cows. That's the Shaila. We declared the Shai, we have a mug collection at home. Right. We go to different places, we like to take mugs and mementos. So always a discussion whether the new mugs are milk or inflation. So we once went to Turkey Hill, the ice cream place, and in Pennsylvania, Columbia, Pennsylvania. So we got a black mug with a cow on it. So Shaila is it a milchig mug or inflation mug? Now, if most of the Turkey Hill mugs have like the Turkey Hill logo on it. It's clearly milk.
I put like chicken feet on there.
Yeah. Sometimes. Or we use it at the flesh of cable. It gets washed with the flesh of dishes. And sometimes it has chicken soup in it. And if you microwave the chicken soup in the mug, it's now delicious. So that was a deal. It has a cow on it. So is a cow a simon of milk? Is a cow a simon of flesh? So Lamaisa, that's according to Rith, to the Fair Shigamar, Ke'en Tura is a simon of milchit. Matter of fact, the Darkin Moshe quotes that one version of this was that they would leave some cheese or bones on top of a loaf of bread to know that it's milchit or fleshit. Bones are definitely incontrovertibly fleshit. So I think by the so the, this is really Machlokes Rishonim, is the heter of Ke'en Tura to do with size? It's a small enough amount that you can eat up at once? Or does it mean there's something different? There's a hecker, not that you can eat up at once, but there's a reminder attached to the bread that it's milchig or that's fleshig. I think it's a machlokas even in terms of how you translate the word ke'en. In other words, Rashi understands ke'en means an eye. Ein tura, ke'en tura. Like, a kazayis is the size of an olive, Kazayis Beinoni is the size of a Zayis Beinoni, the size of an average size. So Ke Ein Tura, the size of Ein Tura, a cow size. The other Rishonim, the Rif, and the Rambam, And the Rashba, they're saying, no, it means ke'en, like. A ke'en daraisa. Kemo tura. You make it like a cow. Now, so part of what's helpful, just in terms of pshuto, how you would take one approach or the other, for Rashi, the tura seems out of place. Of all things, that's how you describe the size of a loaf. According to the Rif, I understand, they actually made it look like a cow. Made cow-shaped cookies, and they're milchik, okay? So then we understand.
A cow, not an ox.
An ox, I'm sorry, tura is an ox. Oh, that's a good point also. Is tura dafka, tura is a shar. Is tura dafka a shar as opposed to a para? I'm not sure. That may be more of a question. I'm not sure. You make it with the horns, without the horns. I'm not sure. Be that as it may, the third is a machlokas we showed him. Three is this machlokas we showed him how to understand it. And there are three ha'aras come up over the course of working through the Torah base. Those are the three ha'aras. The first question about this Ke'in Tura is the question of how do we paskin. The Torah quotes, I mentioned that the Rosh in different places quotes different shitos. In Chulin he quotes Rashi, and in Psachim he quotes the Rif. He kidarko, the default of the Rosh is to, he quotes the Rif verbatim. That's his modus operandi. He took the Rif and added Perushim of the Rishonim, of the Chachmei Ashkenaz. So the Rosh in Psachim is more or less verbatim. I think he changed the word Sharyan to Mutarin or vice versa. Translates between Hebrew and Aramaic. But it's basically verbatim the Rif. That's not surprising. So how do we paskin? So the Tur quotes both. These quotes. Rashi says this. The Rif says that. The Beis Yosef quotes from one of the later Chachmei Ashkenaz, Hagos Shari Dura, that we talk a pasuk like both. They both have good svaras. So we accept both, which is interesting because the Gemara presumably meant one or the other. Some say, look, it's a suffix Rabbanon, so we should make a like either one. The Bach is not so happy. The Beis Yosef is very comfortable saying we pasuk like both. The Bach is hesitant. The Bach says, he quotes Tosfos. I couldn't find, I'm not sure what this Tosfos is. Gotta look around some more. Must be one of the, maybe it's one of the alternative, maybe it's a Tosfos Shantz, one of the other Balia Tosfos, the Tosfos Shantz, Tosfos Rashba on Psachim. Not sure, Tosfos Rosh on Bav Metzia. I did not take a look. And in the new tours, they don't have any Maramakim when the Bach quotes a Tosfos, which may mean they didn't find it either. But the Bach says, Rashi, the Tosfos says it also. He says, I'm not so ready to make all against Rashi. In other words, if it's a big loaf, but you have a hecker, the Bach says, Rashi says what Rashi said. The Gemara only needs one or the other. So the Bach isn't so thrilled. So like the Dievet, look, you already made it. But the hecker is not going to throw it out. He's not so thrilled about being maker like the Rif. That's the approach of the Bach. We'll open Shulchan Aruch. We'll see. Not surprisingly, Shulchan Aruch follows what he wrote in the Beis Yosef that we do accept both, and we'll see if where the Rama stands. And then, but before I open up Shulchan Aruch, a point about each of the shitos. The number one, in terms of the position of Rashi, that means the davar muat, the size of an ein hashor. An interesting question is how much is too much? How much is too much? So here's a point that the Beis Yosef and the Bach seem to agree on. The Beis Yosef quotes Hagos Sharidura that it doesn't sound, from which it sounds like, it doesn't really have to do with the amounts. Ke'ein Tur isn't actually a shear. We don't really care about the size of an ox eyeball, bovine eyeball. What we care about is that small enough that I'll finish it off. I won't have leftovers. So it depends on the situation. And the Bach makes it even more clear because Hagos Sharidura discusses the Beis Yosef quotes, the Bach quotes, the Rama is going to quote, challah for Shabbos. Can I make fleishik, can I put schmaltz in the challah recipe? Fleishik and schmaltz. So the Hagos Sharidura says not a problem because you finish it off. And the Bach makes it very clear. He says, Afilo Anishiv Yisrael. So the fascinating line in the Bach. We never heard of even the poorest Jew shouldn't have fleishiks for Shabbos. Intriguing. Lo ala ala hadas. Not a place for Shabbos. Who can't have? Who doesn't have places? And then they knew real poverty. They knew real poverty. Everyone else. They may not have a lot. Maybe they had one or two chicken drumsticks that they shared among the family. But you had some sort of fleishes for Shabbos. So he says, for sure, you're going to eat the challah with the fleish. You're not having the challah Shabbos, the challah with the milk meal. And it's going to be finished off by the time Shabbos is over. And then the Bach goes on to say, modern orthodoxy, he says, that was then, this is now. He says, b'zman hazeh, we make big challahs and we have leftovers. So if you talk about leftover challah for Sunday, he says then that there's no longer any free pass for the challah. You're going to have some other solution. And the Bach, that's when the Bach says, he's not really so, you could have said, well, just to leave a simon, he's not so happy with, he doesn't like, he's not so thrilled about the rib. He would rather you make smaller challahs. Make smaller, if you want to make the fleshit, make smaller challahs. That's the approach of the Bach. So you do see that the size is situational. It depends how much you'll finish. There's a further discussion post Kim, is it the man you'll finish off in one sitting or the man you'll finish off in one day? How long do we think you'll naturally remember that this bread is milk or flesh? So that's one discussion about Davar Mu'ad. And then the discussion in terms of Hekker, interesting also, the Beis Yosef quotes a Rashba. You have
would it matter if it was, this is where they're making it themselves in their own, but in terms of commercial, like a bakery.
We're going to have to talk about bakeries, yeah. Pesach Yeshua talks about bakeries. But there are a number of comments of Pesach Yeshua that are going to be relevant to how this plays out in a commercial context. Let's take it. Says again. We're going to get to Shulchan Aruch. Once we get to Shulchan Aruch, the Pesach Yeshuv and Simen Tzadi Zayin is particularly rich. But in terms of Yesodos and the Beis Yosef, one issue is how do we paskin Rashi versus Rif? In terms of Rashi, we get the sense that size is situational, or I should say, size is totsa'a driven. It's not really about the size. It's really about small enough that the goal will be accomplished. That's going to be finished off rapidly. Which again, Shabbos, it could be bigger because we know we're going to finish off by the time we're done eating flesh and Shabbos meals, we finish with the chal. And then the Beis Yosef quotes the Ramah, the Rashba, but it's in the Darkei Moshe, it's in the Bayis HaKatzar, which is not on this page. In the Darkim, in the Torah of Bayis HaAruch, he says, Ishaninu v'avdinu kein tur, if you made it different, you made it like a Torah, so then it's mutter. Kevin Deshani, but who made the Yadi Mishumekeru Davidlu Hachi. Everyone knows that you made it like this as a hacker. In the Torah of Bayis HaKatzar, which is on a different page, and that's the piece that Beis Yosef usually quotes Torah Bayis HaKatzar, not Torah Bayis HaAruch. There he says, people will notice that it looks different, and they'll ask, hey, why does this look different? And someone's going to tell them it's flesh. The significance of that, I think, is that it doesn't have to be something that actually communicates this is flesh. It just has to be something that communicates this is different. So you sort of use it to borrow.
What's that look for? How does he get there?
Because the language of the Rashba, the Taras of Bayis HaKatzar, who was quoted by the Beis Yosef, was Imshina Betzuras Hapas. But also Ka'achim Ketanim Ka'ein Hashar. He made the bread a little different. He made these small rolls that look like a cow, like an ox. Mutaris, that's mutar. Why? Shaharoa yodea shloshinu tsuraso el lehekar bialma. Any observer will understand that they made this for a reason. They're supposed to remember that something special about this. V'yishal, he'll ask, what's it all about? V'yomerlo, and they'll tell him, oh, it's milking. Oh, that's flesh. What you see is it's a Ramesh Salvechik has this Derech Mashal. Ramesh Salvechik has a chiluk between Zecher Lenes versus Persume Nisa. It's in the context of coming to Purim and to Pesach. In both contexts, we have the Gemara says, Afein Hoi Ba'osanes is an exception to women being Peturos from Mitzvah Seishas Mangra. Right, so the Gemara applies that to Arba Kosos, the Gemara applies that to the Mitzvah of Purim, to the Mitzvah of Chanukah. So the Rishonim already begin to ask, and Achronim continue to point out there are a whole slew of mitzvahs aside from Chanukah, Purim, and Arba Kosos, which seem to lend themselves to Apein Hoyga Osaneis. The Gemara doesn't say it over there. For instance, matzah. The Gemara has a drasha. The women of Chayav Chayav is the matzah. When I say Apein Hoyga Osaneis, tefillin. Apein Hoyga Osaneis, and so on and so forth. How do you make sense of it? So there are different approaches. Some say it's only by Drabana. The whole idea of Apein Hoyga Osaneis maybe is only by Din Drabana. There are several approaches. Rosh Salvechik, or Shechter quotes Rosh Salvechik, said that there's Afin Hoyba Osai Neis is only applicable when the mitzvah itself communicates the Neis. When it's Pirsume Nisa, the Neiros, Megillah, Arbakosos, you're actually portraying the, you're publicizing, even Mefarsim in the Neis. As they put tefillin, if I see someone wearing tefillin, does that say, oh, That screams to see what's Mitzrayim? It doesn't scream anything. It tells me, it's a reminder. It's like the string around the finger. If I ask, someone will say, oh, you know what's written in the tefillin? Kaddish, Vahayah, Kiviyach, etc. That's a Zeichon, it's not Pursumin. He said, that was Rav Moshe's Salvechik's Chiluk, that Afinah Vahasneis is only relevant to Pursumin. So that's a little bit of just the Derech HaMashal, that's what's going on over here. I would have thought that Kein Turah means Pursumin. Again, the examples that the Darkei Moshe gives, you put the bones on top, you put the cheese on top. I have, you walk into the pizza store, the calzones often have one piece of the filling on top. If they're stuffed with mushrooms, there'll be one mushroom on top, so you know that's a mushroom sauce. That's a mushroom calzone. So I would have thought that here as well. The Rajba says it doesn't have to be. As long as it tells you, as long as it's a zecher, I see that something different, v'yishal v'yomrulo, I'll know to ask before just diving in, that already is sufficient. Okay, so with that in mind, let's take a look at Shulchan Aruch.
So what did you do with that matzah then? Why is it matzah considered pesudis? Tell me again. Unless you tell me I'm conditioned to know that matzah is yisis mitzrayim, but it's not necessarily obvious to anybody looking at matzah.
Yeah, that might be the answer. The Rav, the Rambam, if you'll ask me, the same is true for Arba Kosos. So the Rambam, this is a conversation for a different. We might have actually had a chabur about this a year or two ago, pre-Pesach, that the Brisker Rav points out that the Rambam understands that the Brisker Rav suggests that the machlok is Russian Rambam had to understand Haseba. And that for the Rambam, this is one of the shortest pieces in the Brisker Rav Sefer on Rambam. Perek Zayin Hilchos Chametz Matzah. There's more than one piece. There's a long piece about Arba Kosos and there's a short piece about Haseba. Very, 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 very dense. He begins to develop the idea, there's more to say about it beyond, you can expand what he says. That for the Rambam, Haseba is not an independent mitzvah drabbanon. For the Rambam, Haseba is not an enhancement of matzah, an enhancement of Arba Kosos. It is rather an independent mitzvah, Chiyuv drabbanon, which is a form of Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim. Not only do you fulfill Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim verbally, but you fulfill it physically, kinesthetically as well. Chayav Adam Laharos Es Atzma. Rambam writes in Perek Zayin Lachavav Chametz Matzah. I have to, part of the Chiyuv Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim is to demonstrate it, to act out the story. And the Rambam writes, Halacha Zayin, in introducing the Din Drabbanon of Haseba and Arba Kosos, says, Lefikach, since it says Didaraisa of Chayav Adam Laharos Es Atzma, therefore, we're obligated to drink Arba Kosos and do Haseba. In other words, Biskra points out, the specifics of Arba Kosos and Haseba are Drabbanon, but their ways of fulfilling the Din Daraisa of kinesthetic Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim. So Haseba is meant to be, you're acting in a regal aristocratic way. Again, Bizman Hazeh, it doesn't really carry that punch anymore. And that's actually how the Rav explained. There's a difficult Ramah. The Ramah writes The Gemara says that Haseba in principle should apply to women, but only if they're Nashim Chashuvos, so only if they have more of an equal, Al-Pasha, that means that they have more of an equal relationship with their husbands, their peers. So Ramah writes, well, our women are all Chashuvos, which is not only meant romantically, but he means in Ashkenaz, the husband-wife relationship was generally more of a peer relationship. But he says, but the women still don't do Haseva because of the Rav Yah. Because the Rav Yah says no Haseva is one of them because it doesn't mean anything. Now in B'tkumas Chazal, Haseva wasn't meaningful in that culture. It was an expression of Cheres. Rav Yah, one of the Chachmei Ashkenaz, he writes, Bezman Hazeh, medieval Ashkenaz, it means nothing in the post-Roman era. We no longer live in, we're post-classical. So there's no Chiv, Rav Yah says no Chiv Haseva. So Ramah says, women, but they don't do Haseva because of the Rav Yah. So the question is, why the women follow Rav Yah, the men don't? Marashah, he said, you do, you know. So the Rav said, no. What it means is the following. Not because the women possibly like the Rav Yah, but the sociological observation the Rav Yah made is relevant for women. The Rav Yah made an observation that Bizmanenu, in our culture, Haseba is meaningless. Point number one. Everyone agrees to that. The point of departure, the bone of contention, no pun intended, between the Rav Yah and the Shari Shonim, is what's the nature of the Chiyuv Haseba? Is Haseba only pursuing Menisut, or is it also Zeichel and Eitz? Rav Yah said the entire Takan Rabban of Haseba was Lefaris and Mesanes. So once it's meaningless, so it would, it's like Onus Rachamana Patre. Even if I do Haseba, I'm not accomplishing Haseba because I'm not demonstrating anything. So Rav Yah says, don't bother. It's not going to help you to do Haseba. So we disagree with Rav Yah. We hold that the Takana is also as a Zeichonis. However, for women, the entire Chiyuv Haseba is based on Afeinu Ba'avos Hanes, and therefore is limited to pursuing Nisa. So the Rav Yah's observation that Pursume Nisa is no longer available for Haseba is relevant to women. That's how the Rav explained that Ramah. It fits very well. Whereas Matzah may not be. Does matzah bespeak? Maybe it bespeaks the mitzvah, or just you have to put the piece together. I'm not sure exactly where you draw the line. Near Chanukah, yes, matzah, no, maybe. Let's take a look from Shulchan Aruch. Coming back to Hilchos Bas Michal, we've gone into Psachim through multiple portals of entry, and now let's see how Psachim feeds into your day. Ain Lashin Isa Bechal Shulchan Aruch Sefalf. Shemayavu la'achal and basar. Not allowed to need a milch gdo. I may end up eating with bread. I may end up eating with meat. Excuse me. V'emalosh kol pas aser. If I did make it, it's aser even b'diavad. I feel la'achal avada. Now even again, to be clear, I'm not even allowed to eat it alone. It's not just that I can't eat it with fleishiks. That's a tarapasha. That's potentially a din d'oraisa. But the din d'rabbanan is that it's aser absolutely. However, and here he gets into the Kein Turah. If it was small enough, one serving size, and that's Rashi. Oh, Shashina Turah Tapasha Teni Keres Shol Yochal Babasa. So Kein Turah in the sense of the Rif and the Rambam and the Rashba. So then Mutter. Then Mutter. And then he goes on to say the other half of the Brisa. Kayotzeba and Ofen Pas Betaner Shetacha Ba'alya. If you bake bread on a surface that has been smeared with fleshika fat, with schmaltz, so that you're not allowed to do it, and if you did, the same is a drabanan, regardless with milk or fleshik, same is even bidyevit. So then the Ramah gives applications. So that's why our practice is to make milk chalas for shavuos, to make schmaltz, fleishik, chalas for Shabbos, ki chal zeh, mechshav, ki davar muad. Number one, it's considered to be davar muad. That's the ha'ara that we mentioned before. This is considered to be davar muad. I mean, they may not be so small, but I'm going to finish them off over the course of Shabbos, or over the course of Shavuos. And then he, the Rambam says, plus, gam kitzirasa mashum mitzarpas. You also have, so you have Rashi, and you also have the Rif and the Rambam. They look different. You could tell that challah is challah. They didn't make bread all week long looking like challah. So you know, if you know, the challahs are always shmals. Okay, it looks different. V'chol she'im plada o pashtida demutar. All the more so if you have some sort of pie, so the pie, it's clear what it's filled. You can see the filling. You see pieces of meat. You see pieces of cheese. It does not leave much to the imagination. That's the ultimate hacker. That's the ultimate hacker. As opposed to tsurasa mashuma sharp path, doesn't necessarily, you can't say see the milk, but I know it looks different. Rishon says, Shavuah said make it round, make it long. I think make it long instead of rounder. Okay. So in number one, in terms of how we paskin, so the Mechaber and the Ramah, each one is quoting both shitas. It sounds like the Shulchan is very explicit. Ramah also sounds like either reason is sufficient. We pass in like the Shari Dura, Hagoy Shari Dura, Beis Yosef had quoted that we accept either opinion against the hesitations of the Bach. As a matter of fact, the Bach usually, when there was the Bach has a shita, even to reject it, usually the Taz and or the Shach will mention the Bach said this, but we don't accept it. He doesn't even make it to the page, unless I missed it. I think neither the Taz nor the Shach even quoted it at all. The Shach quotes a different Bach, but I don't think he quotes this Bach. It's absolutely rejected. We absolutely accept either opinion as being thoroughly sufficient. Then the Ramah gets into a discussion about accidental fleshed bread. Ain lefos shum pas in paladin or pashtida, the tanner de chayshin and shema yazav min hashum and ala pas. When you're making a fleshik pie, you should not have any other bread in the oven at the same time, because we're worried about leakage. What if the pie leaks? And then you're going to have a trail of grease snaking its way across the oven floor, and it's going to hit the bread, and it's going to make the bread fleshik and therefore treif. In zav tachtov dinukil nil shimo. If it flows underneath and hits the loaf even from below, that's the same as having been kneaded, as adding a schmaltz as one of the ingredients.
Something jumps out at me.
Mm-hmm.
In talking about the pashtida and bread. Isn't there a Gemara somewhere that says that if you have a treif piece of meat, a kosher piece of meat, and one of them is covered, and they're cooked, baked in the same oven, it's mutter? So it sounds very similar.
Yeah, no, so it's, again, that's the point you raised before. It's a good point. That's Simon Adafa involved in Psachim, and that's Siv Gimel in this Simon, which is Pas Shafa Matzli. That's that I have meat in the oven, and I have bread in the oven. And they're not... I'm not worried about drippage. So then, that Shonar discusses, it is a problem. It's not a problem, however. If it's covered, we'll get to that. Here, the concern is that if you have it on the same oven floor, should you be worried about not just that it's in the air, but that you're actually going to have a flow of grease that's going to hit the bread? That's going to hit the bread.
This is the actual real bread.
Your mom's going to end up with a flesh of grease. So what do you see? What you see is that it doesn't actually have to even be an ingredient. As long as you have the end lying on, is floating on top or floating below, that's already a problem. This would be fleshig bread. Now the Pesach Tshuva has a number of fascinating questions. Beginning with the Pesach Tshuva of Kambez quotes starts getting into suffix cases. Levush Shrod has a question. Let's say I have one loaf of flasher bread gets mixed in with other loaves. So how does bittel? You have to think about how bittel works. And then he quotes the Prima Gadim. Prima Gadim raises the question. Let's say it was Bishogig. Yesh la'ayinim lush pasim chalav Bishogig. So Yadush Shasar, I didn't know. No one ever told me the milchik bread is treif, or it's splattered by accident. Here's the question. So sometimes the Gemara will ask whether kanser shogeg atumez or lo kanser shogeg atumez. Do you even make a knas in the case you violated the din b'shogeg? Or really, shall I make a knas in a mazif case? You talk, you b'chavad did something wrong, I'm going to make a knas. Yeah, a guy fell did it accidentally. You wouldn't expect there to be a knas. But the Gemara sounds ready to question. Shall I say kanser shogeg atumez? Oh, right, so here it's not a knas. Here, it's not that we're punishing you. It's not. It's true that you violated an isser. It sounds like it is an isserdron to create it as well as to eat it. A little bit parallel to Simon Pezayin. Sort of very chiasmic here, going back to the very first Simon. But to be right, it's the same gezeira. It's even usser to make it. The real concern is to eat it. You're going to have it around the house, you're going to eat it. You may forget and eat it with the other, the fleshic bread with the milchic food, the milchic bread with the fleshic food. Yeah, so the chalal, that's what you go to the Shabbat says, I'll be precious, it's all out, sir. That's certainly the impression you get from this Ramah. And we're talking about Zav Tachtav, no one's trying to make milchik bread. No one's trying to make fleshik bread, it just dripped. The Pizdat Shach gets involved in the whole discussion. He points out that the Ramah's language ain't left for shum pas. You should not do this. Chayshin and Shema Yazov. Because we're worried, maybe there'll be some drippage. If it did drip, if it actually did drip, so then it's the same as if it's in. So the Shach raised the whole discussion about, how about if I don't know if it dripped? I don't know how far it dripped. So Safik, Svaksveka, does it matter whether it's a flat oven floor or a sloped oven floor? If it's sloped, it's meshupa. So then there's more of a chance it's going to, and the pie was up top, and the bread is down below, so then we're pretty sure that it's going to, if it flows, it's going to make its way down. If it's flat, maybe it'll pool somewhere. Maybe it won't make it all the way over to the bread. Maybe it's a suffix, a sveksveka. He even quotes a different type version of the sveksveka. He quotes Kagosh Sharidura quotes Or Zarua, below Raw Dizav, if I didn't see for sure that there was any flow, I should not put it in. Because maybe there'll be flow. Okay. Lechatchil is Aser Safik Shamayazav. But let's say I Taka put it in. Below Raw Dizav, he quotes Or Zarua, but I didn't see any flow. So then it's anyhow a Saksveka. Suffix Zavo low. I don't know if there actually was flow. And maybe I opened the oven, it may have dried up already. But could be there was a flow that with liquid, the liquid made its way over to the bread. But even if it did, in Tim Salomar Zav, Shema lo yochlo and achalav. That's sex faker. Maybe I won't eat it with the. And maybe it never became fleshy. If it became fleshy, I may not end up eating it with milchiks. So, or Zeruah has it as a sex faker. That's why I don't actually throw the bread out. Unless I know that the liquid made it all the way to the bread. And the Shach says, Ramah didn't say that. Why not? He says, well, Shema lo chashav hai, maybe that's not such a svek sveka, came in the regilus ulecho pasim kol minei ochlim. People eat bread with all sorts of food. This goes back to an earlier era when you ate bread with everything. Bread was a staple of the meal. Sakar v'adav alecho gam kin chalv. It's not a suffix. It's a rove. The rove is, as a matter of fact, a very, very, very strong rove that you're going to eat the bread at some point. Part of this loaf will be used together with milchiks. And there's a Tosfos and Ksubas Taftas. Amar Allah points out that you can't make a svek sveka using a suffix and a miut. It has to be two svekas. So here you say suffix zav, suffix lo zav, and then a miut that it won't be eaten with milchiks. The Rashach says that's unacceptable. Okay, we'll come back to this shach. We'll come back to this shach soon. But certainly this discussion of zav seems to very much indicate that it doesn't have to be b'mezid. It doesn't have to be kansu shogeg to mezid. Even if it's totally b'shogeg, I'm not 100% sure it happened. I still wasn't trying for it to happen. Okay. Now the previous Pesach Tshuva, Sivkan Aleph, goes to Tshuva Tzemach Tzedek, about adding milchiks into wine, using a milk ingredient, a milk ingredient, adding it to wine. Kdei Shelavon V'Tzalu. Not sure exactly what technology is referring to, but they added a drop of milk to change the, sounds like to change the color, to change the look. It was a dairy additive. They added a few drops of milk. So the question is that a problem? Is that a problem? Milchik wine. The truth is the Taz already raises such a question. The Taz raises the question, is kind of olive, mizer nearly b'meducha shedochim b'besamim. I have a mortar and pestle that I use for my spices. I use for herbs. And you use the besamim hayin b'asayim l'chalav. I use, sometimes I grind oregano or pepper or thyme for milchiks. Sometimes I grind it for fleishiks. Pamachas, obviously it's a power of a mortar and pestle. Pamachas dachusham. Shum in Marak shall shum and avos. I had schmaltz and garlic, and I ground the schmaltz with the garlic. So that's a davar charif, even if it's cold. It's a davar charif, a fleishik a davar charif. So then he Taz says nearly sha'osa meducha asur la duchba od besamim fil lechel bevasar shema yavu lechel bechalav do me a dekan. The same way you can't have fleishik bread, you can't have a fleishik mortar and pestle. Like, he says you better be my, you gotta kasher it. Tzricha hechsher. And he says even b'di'eved aser b'lechsher kol pasta kan. Wow. He says we're gonna calls upon that your mortar and pestle are fleishik. The spices you grind there are all treif. Treif. Mamish even b'di'eved like the bread. He says I but we learned the previous siman. We had a case of Talvin Shenidochu Beducha Shabbasar. Shulchan Aruch spoke about a fleishik and mortar and pestle. We spoke about blunt pressure is also called Duch de Sakino. So he says, Asr Bechalov and Mutter and Basar. He says, Shamayri Shabbaduchim, Yucharas Labasar Dafka. If that's the fleishik, mortar and pestle, that's fine. Ain Litos Sham. Kain nearly Nalias Daiti Pashut. The Talis thinks this is obvious. Of course. Why should a mortar, a ostensibly power of a mortar and pestle is no different than bread? The same is the Rabbanan, the Chatchila and B'dievet. The Taz thinks this is a Dover of Pashat. Kain nearly Laniyas Daiti Pashat. Some Achronim thought that this is not so Pashat at all.
Because it's Din Darabanan. You can't just extend.
Gewaldik. So the Chavos Das, that's the Nesivos of Sefer Yeridaya. He wrote Nesivos HaMishpat on Choshen Mishpat, and Chavos Das on Yeridaya. So the Chavos Das writes here in Sifkan Aleph, he says, number one, and number two. He says, number one, it should be noted that even the Taz, we're talking about a very specific case. His case was a mortar and pestle for spices. So you know why he spoke about mortar and pestle for spices? The Chavos Das says because this is not true about just about any other kli. He says even the Taz thought the meducha is uniquely problematic because since it's typically it's meant to be used as dvarim charifim, it's a spice grinder. So not bar not, still aser b'dievet. Ein ben yomo still also b'dievet. He says, but any other kli, I have a parva soup ladle, and it accidentally became fleishik. So Chavos Das says the Taz would never say that now it's mamish treif. No, it's a ladle for the next 24 hours. It's a ben yomo. It'll be an ben yomo, and even calls ma'atz a ben yomo. It's often only going to create. You know, it's only a problem if I mamish stick it into. Into milchiks, I put into pyram, it just makes it not bar not. The Chavos Das says, even the Taz was only talking about the meducha, which again is a kli meant specifically for Dvarim Charifim. It's dedicated to Dvarim Charif. So that's the Taz. That's the Chavos Das's first point about the Taz. The Taz's example is pretty specific. It's not a broad case. It's not about Kalim in general. Then he says, you should also know that that's what the Taz said. The Pri Chadash disagrees. The Minchas Yaakov in the bottom of the Taras Chatz, Ramaz Taras Chatz disagrees. And he says, and frankly, I agree with him. That one, and that's the point you're saying. The Taz, it seems like it's like a Lomdash Machlokes. What was the Nate when Chazal made this Gezeira? The Taz understands that the bread is just an example. The point was items that are typically used interchangeably in Lilchiks or Fleshiks and are not clearly one or the other, you can't make them Lilchik or Fleshik.
According to the Taz, it would be problematic to do like dairy spaghetti or dairy.
Right, that's
rice.
What I was thinking about.
Yeah, that's a good point. Right, there'll be other food items.
Milk pretzels always trip me up.
Yeah, so then
again, some of those might actually be pas, but spaghetti is not pas, rice is not pas. Yeah, it's a good point. Any other food item that's typically used with both is gonna be.
That was the yayin as well.
Right. So that, exactly, that's the point. Right, and that's the Tzemach Tzedek, his clair about the wine. So
he didn't land. Did he? It's not clear, based on the Piskei Tshuva, what the.
Yes, I think the Prima Gadin puts, if I remember correctly, puts them together, and he assumes. The Chavadasa puts them together.
I think Prima Gadin says that he's talking about whether it's like the Bittul Chatchila point, but adding.
Yeah, there are a few different pieces in Prima Gadin here. Yeah, it's in the beginning of the first Prima Gadin on the Shach, the Sif Seidas. It's about the Besamim. Take a look at the Taz. Pri Chadashim and Chiz Yaakov. They were shocked at the Mashatamu al Taz. And then it says, Yayins, Ayin Semach Tzedek. It sounds like he's lining them up as related issues, which Lechora they are. And the Piskei Tshuva and Dalet, let's talk for a few more minutes. And this is a critical Piskei Tshuva that pulls a lot together. Piskei Tshuva, the long Sivkat and Dalet, long Sivkat and Gimel. I'm sorry. In the middle of Gimel, he quotes the Chavos Das. Shinui ein mo'el rakish ha-shinu b'shas ha-fiyah. Shlo haya olav yisr klal. It has to be that by the.
Why should it matter?
Why should it matter? And he says, that's what the Prima Gadim says. He says, or to cut up into small pieces afterwards. The other type of kain to Rashi's kain to it. L'chalkel harbin adim shegil cholech v'echad darabu that's aser came in shikvar nasar v'nas nevela. It became aser. Chanan, right? See, he doesn't mean Chanan literally. It's a borrowed phrase. But what he means is it became a shtick, tarfus. It already became treif. When you made it into bread, and that's by the way the Rama was talking about, it's bein lahakal bein lahachmir. Rama spoke about it leaks while it's baking in the oven. If fleshik splashes on already baked bread, that makes the bread fleshik, not treif. It becomes treif when you bake it. So if it already was milchik or fleishik, b'shasli, that's why we keep talking about nilosha b'chalav. Nilosha. It's kneaded or while it's baking, but still dough. So that's when it can become treif, and that's when it can become kasher. It's only become treif if the milchik or fleishik already got in before it was fully baked. And the le'idach yisa, ke'ein tura, whether that's sheker or size, that better be that way by the time it's baked. To cut into little pieces later, it's too late. To add a hecker later, that's also too late. And then he says, the Piskei Tshuva says, that's the position of the Chavos Das and the Prima Gadim. But the Loka Krasi Uplasi, the Krasi Uplasi disagrees. Who is the Krasi Uplasi? He's the same person who wrote the Urim V'Tumim. And those are, by the way, two names for the same item. And the Chap is, Krasi Uplasi is not the Urim V'Tumim. The same person. Urim V'Tumim is a reference to Choshen that was inside the Choshen Mishpat. As you understand, Ivy should say for on Choshen Mishpat is very cleverly. He was a very clever man. You guys know Ivy should name to say for on Choshemesh, the Urim v'Tumim, the two parts, Urim and Tumim. Often people just quote the Tumim. That's the Yerenza Ibishit and Choshemesh. But Kresu Plesi is Yerenza Ibishit on Yeredeya. So this is the Machlokas in the Sivas and Yerenza Ibishit. In the Sivas, Supreme God of Yerenza Ibishit, can you get the hacker in later? So the Rabbi Konigsberg, I believe, is the one who edited and published the notes of the Rabbi Shechter's notes of the Rav Shurman Yerodea. The last piece in Bas B'chalav, in that volume, it's Simon Ayin Dalet, is about this Simon of not the Pashini Losh B'chalav. So the Rav said in the Shir that he raised the following question. Let's say there's a Machlokas Rambam Raivid. The Mishnah talks about not making brachas on treifa food. The Rambam Raivid discusses when that applies. We paskin, you're not allowed to make bracha rishona or bracha achrona on treifa food. So let's say if I ate treifa food by accident, I discovered I was doing treif, I don't make a bracha achrona. How about if I ate pashi nilo shabachala by accident? I didn't realize it was milchik. I didn't realize that was a problem. If you got to make cane too early, we weren't paying attention. And then you realize after we eat gavalt, it was tray for bread. So do you bench? You not bench. So the Rav said, Shir, he thought you should bench. Because he thought that it's not that Chazal made a treif. They made it gzeir, you're not allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to eat this bread because you may come to eat it. Because of what, you'll eat the milchik bread with flesh. I said, made gzeir drabban, don't eat the milchik bread at all. It's not that they gave it properties of Isser. They didn't make it a chepter shalei sur. It's a gavram. It's a gavram drabban. So mainly, he said that the food is not machal sasuris.
So
you
held
that
the
crazy
price.
Oh. So I close with a footnote, points out there are a whole slew of this klar, that's l'chara what the... That sounds like that's the machlokas Chavas Das versus Kresi Uplesi. Chavas Das is saying, Chanan, it became a shtick iser. It became usser, so there's no way to undo it. Yes, I'm saying, no, it's a gzeira. So, okay, you're not allowed to eat this bread. It's not the bread is treif. This bread you're not allowed to eat. Shem will come to eat it, basar. You make a hecker. So, shine. Now it's no longer usser to eat. Nothing about the bread. It's not a status of the bread. That seems to be that machlokas. And another issue is wrappers. This is sort of like a takeoff on the Chavas Das in his Nabishitz. Let's say we're going to have a milchik bread, and the wrapper will have on the wrapper will say OUD, OKD, whatever, or some it'll say dairy. It'll mention the wrapper as dairy. If you take the wrapper off, there's no way to tell that this is milchik bread. So that's a machlok zaposkim. So according to there, Sadim Lakan or Lakan, it could be that even according to Rabbi Ibishitz, it's aser because even Rabbi Ibishitz may have only said you have to be hecker on the bread itself. The fact that the hecker on the wrapper, maybe that's not good enough. Le'idach
Yisa. No, it's clearly the bread was not baked with the hecker on it.
Right.
The hecker only was going afterwards. So right. So you're starting off with the.
Le'chaora, it's only going to work.
And even in the according to Rabbi Ibishitz, but maybe he required on the bread.
So right. You right. Could make the argument the other direction, but this was bread that was meant to, it's on a line, a production line, that ends with those wrappers. So even though the wrapper isn't yet attached, there could be a tzad to say, that even according to Chavas Das, it's going to be mutter. But it's difficult. I tried to look into it, I couldn't get the definite answer. I think most, I believe, I could be wrong, that most kashrus organizations do not rely on the wrapper itself. Although the Rav quoted that his father, Moshe Salvechik, was willing to make it based on the wrapper. That certainly sounds like it's not a chefter shalei surah. It sounds aligned with the crazy place. See? And finally, one more nafkamina is that shach we mentioned before. The shach had said that a svek sveka, right? One of the svek svekas, he said, was safek, maybe it lows up. Maybe the flesh of grease never hit the bread. Even if it did, maybe I'm not going to end up eating this bread with milchiks. Right, and the Shach had said, and the response to that, or that's an Orzarua. The Shach said, but how could you push back against it? Well, maybe it's a rov you'll eat it with milchik. Gilyan Marsha is furious. He says, I don't understand what you're talking about. Oh, Gimel. Ani is daiti yisham ha'od. Kevin dekvar asr lo lushim ha'chalav. Chazal forbade making bread with milk. Mali shalo yochlenu. Who cares whether you end up eating it with the flesh or not? Mikol mokom. Isid rabban v'ale ravale. The isid rabban set in. So then bid rabban b'chad safek. What's he saying? He's saying there's a difference between the Shach and the beginning of Marsha. It sounds like this issue also. The Shach is, the beginning of Marsha is saying, this is an Issa Drabanan. What's the Shach saying? It's a good point. The Shach would say, no, it's a Gzeira, Hashem, you'll come to do that. The Shach is definitely, seems to be taking a very strong version of the Krasi Oplesi and Ramosha Soloveitchik and Rav Lamdas. It's merely a Issa Gavra, Gzeira, Sheva, Yavo. It's not Asr B'chavtza. As opposed to Chavaz Das, as opposed to the Gilyan Marsha, who understood that it is an Issa Chavtza. Again, like I said, I'm not 100% sure. My impression is that the Kashrus organizations don't usually rely on the label alone. Again, the label is even more of a stretch in the Crazy Place, as you pointed out, because it's not even, as attached later, it's not really attached at all. Then the question becomes English muffins. English muffins. Hmm. What do you do with English muffins? So there is a Maharit.
Are they milchik?
Yeah, English muffins. That by definition, English muffins are milchik. So the Maharit, the Pesachuk calls the Maharit at the end. He says, maybe if it's Danish, it's not a problem. Because who eats a Danish with milchik? You have fleishik a Danish.
Cheese Danish.
No, not cheese Danish. Let's say you have it's like filled with... Filled with the mina misika, filled with fruit or something, filled with honey. She'ain derech la'achal and gavina. Interesting, different eating styles. It did not occur to them to have dessert with cheese. We would say, if I care, who's going to have dessert? You might have dessert with cheese, with milk, you're not going to have dessert with a piece of meat. So that's the way it comes up for us. Let's say I have a dairy mm-hmm. dessert, a cookie. Who eats cookies with meat? You eat bread with meat. You eat a baguette with meat. You eat a pita with meat. But who eats a chocolate chip cookie with meat? So maybe it's not a problem to have a milchik, you know, to have a milchik mine mesika. So that marit, the marit is mekel. Marit is mekel. It says the whole gezerah doesn't apply. It's interesting. So like ke'en tura. Davashav Minyan. Who cares whether the rule applies? That the reason applies. The answer is, but the Gemara said Kain Tur is Mutter. So that's presumably, my Rit says, you see that it's all the Gzer only applies when there's a concern. Kain Tur, either version, means it isn't a reduced concern. He says, here it's also a reduced concern. Similar to Kain Tur. That's a question whether we accept my Rit or not. The English muffins, there's probably a better Heter. I'm not sure that my Rit would be relevant. But we're also not, it's not so clear we accept Marit. But in the Shmuffins, I think the poskim are makel based on a combination of the wrapper also, but primarily that we consider that to be Ke'en Tura in the riff sense. In other words, it's clearly an English muffin. All the nooks and crannies. Kemavur. So I mean, English muffins are milchik. That's what it means to be an English muffin. There's milk in the recipe. So I think my impression is that the hashkachas on English muffins assume that it's really ke'en tura, it's unique, has a unique look, plus we're mitzarif the label as well. So these are the core issues in Pasha Niloshim Achalav. Amitzam, next time, this was Sefalav. Sef Beis raises the issue of how to kasher the walls of the oven, if the walls were greased. You were tashas hatan or ba'alya. And then Siv Gimel raises a question based on Siman Dafayin Vav and Psachim about ovens. Not where the walls are fleishik, but where there's fleishiks in the same oven cavity. Does that spread the problem or not?